You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Neurocentric training uses exercise centered on your brain. It's a new approach to dealing with flexibility, body aches, brain fog, and more. Jan McGrath is a neurocentric trainer at Pilates Whole Body in Rapid City, and she spoke with SDPB's Ellen Kester.
It's just brain exercises, kind of like exercises for your biceps, but specifically targeted for your brain.
Is it crosswords then, or Sudoku?
So, you know, a lot of people think of brain puzzles like Sudoku or crossword puzzles, but here, neurocentric exercises are very specific and targeted. If you can think of your brain that as the control center, as the organ that runs the whole show. So I'll give you an example. If let's say things are getting a little foggy, you've experienced tight joints, tired eyes, or feeling a little wobbly or fatigued or clumsy, well, guess what? Those are signals from your brain telling you that it needs upregulation, that it needs to receive better and clear signals so that it can function and move you optimally. Sometimes I think of it kind of like a GPS on your cell phone. If you have bad signals, guess what? You're not getting from A to B, right? Well, same thing with your brain. If those signals to your brain are not clear and sharp, you're not going to move. You're going to be more tentative. It's like walking in the dark. You're going to be a little apprehensive. And so those examples where I said tired eyes, wobbly, feeling fatigued, clumsy, those are signals to you. That's an output sent from your brain to say, hey, I need clearer signals. And that's where neurocentric, brain-specific exercises will help.
So there's like a disconnect between your mind and your body almost?
That's absolutely a great analogy, Ellen. I think of our brain kind of like, you know, an operating system, a computer operating system. And neurocentric exercises are running updates and fixing bugs so your system runs faster, smoother, and with fewer crashes. So instead of just strengthening the hardware, like your muscles and joints, I am going to upgrade the software that controls it all. Your brain.
Okay, so if someone comes to you and say they have balance issues, how would you then come up with an exercise to help them with that?
Absolutely. So here, what's so wonderful about this approach is that I am going to assess, test, and reassess. There is no guesswork. So you come in, balance issues. The first thing I'm going to do is just have you do a functional movement. Let's have you just raise your arm like you have a question. And I'm just going to see where your range of motion and you, the person, also are checking to see where your arm is going to extend. Then I'm going to then do a neurocentric exercise. So what does that look like? It could be an eye exercise, like having you fix gaze on something and then slowly rotating your head while your eyes are gazing at the object. It could be something where I have you do something like, let's say, a vestibular drill, like a balance drill. So you're going to just have your head move really quick to your left and then slowly come back to center line. Some of these exercises are very simple when guided with a certified neurocentric trainer like myself. And then guess what? After we have done those exercises, then we reassess to determine if your brain liked it or not. So this is what I mean by there is no guesswork, because in real time, at the speed of your nervous system, you're going to know, and I'm going to know, if your brain liked it or did not like it. And it's all in real time. And 9 times out of 10, when I work with clients, I will know immediately. We will change and pivot and find the exercise that your brain likes that will help improve your balance.
So how do you know if a brain liked an exercise?
Well, just that example, what I said about raising your arm, right? Mm-hmm. That was my baseline. So that's just a functional movement that really is a brain function assessment. Range of motion, movement is really an output from the brain. After the eye or vestibular balance drill that I just mentioned, then I'm going to have you raise your arm once again. And 9 times out of 10, your range of motion will increase. And when that range of motion has increased, that tells me that I've upregulated your brain and your brain liked it.
Okay, so there's a little bit of a disconnect for me right now. Okay. I'm hearing that you said you raise your arm. That's the baseline.
Yes.
And then the exercises are kind of eye-based.
Eye, ear, and proprioceptive. So I use the eye because it's the most people can understand that. So if I was to ask Ellen right now to take her arm and raise it to shoulder height, take your right arm to shoulder height, and then I want you to fix your gaze at your thumbnail, just your thumbnail, okay? Stare at that thumbnail. And you're not going to move your eyes from the focusing on that thumbnail. And from that midline, you're going to slowly turn your head to your left and making sure both eyes are still looking at that thumbnail, take a breath, and slowly come back to your midline. And you're going to repeat that. And ideally, you should be able to do about 8 to 10 reps. And I, as a certified neurocentric trainer, am going to look at your body because I have a developed eye to see if your brain likes 8 reps or does not like 8 reps. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I'm just going to ask you just to relax and then raise your arm again. Okay. And so the raising of the arm, really, Ellen, doesn't matter. It could be raising your knee. It could be having you rotate to one side, any functional movement. If Ellen has any back aches right now, I would use your pain as your baseline assessment. Do you follow me? And all of that just tells me today, this moment, where Ellen's brain is at. And it's very personalized. I baseline, I test, and retest. And then we cycle through until we get rid of the stiffness, we get rid of the pain, we get rid of the small range of motion, whatever it is that Ellen wants to do. Again, if we recognize this one big concept, neuroplasticity, your brain is plastic. You, okay. Ellen, and I are practicing applied neurology whether we like it or not. Neuroplasticity is simply that your brain is always going to reorganize itself. And it doesn't matter your age. And neuroplasticity is neither good or bad. But what we want to do is intentionally harness the power of neuroplasticity for our good, right? Mm-hmm. And typically we think of brain health when we're in our golden years, but I want people to think of it now because just like you would work out your bicep and do some sort of general fitness, you would want to do the same with your brain, especially if you want the quickest, fastest change, because the fastest fixes start above the neck, your brain.
So what comes to mind for me with neuroplasticity is like the old saying, you can't teach a dog new tricks, but it sounds
Yeah, so that was the old school. And the last, so that was the old school where you believed that neuroscientists believed that there were localization, so parts of your brains for a specific function. So if you had an auto accident and your parietal lobe, that back portion of your brain, was damaged, then your ability to sense where you are and so forth is gone. Not true. In the last 25 years, neuroscientists have recognized the power of neuroplasticity. So in other words, same example, auto accident, parietal lobe damaged. Guess what? We can, using neurocentric exercise, hijack that area that's kind of like dead and damaged to retrain the brain to regain sensory and understanding where you are. Parietal lobe, one of its function is just to have you understand where you are in space. So it's not you can't change your old habits. You can create new habits and new neural pathways.
When you were talking about raising your arm, looking at your thumbnail, moving your head, I was sitting at in my studio doing that. Like I didn't break out in a sweat or anything. Is that pretty normal for your classes?
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. If we can remember that the brain is the control center. It controls all. And mm-hmm. if you recognize that, then any of your movements that if you're going to go and do some weights, if you're going to take a jog where you are going to sweat, you are probably going to notice that your movement quality is better. You're going to be more confident because really what you're trying to do is provide clear signals for your brain so that your brain feels safe. And when your brain feels safe, then your body is going to move. Because the number one thing your brain cares about moment by moment is not helping Ellen move from back pain or help her to be more productive. Ellen's brain only cares about one thing, survival. And so if the brain believes there is any threat is going to cause you to freeze up and not move. And so earlier when I gave you those examples about tight joints, tired eyes, or feeling wobbly, that is your brain sending an output telling you that I'm in protection mode, I feel threatened, whereby I am not going to help you move. I'm going to put some pain out there. It's an output. I'm going to send you some foggy eye signals, tired eyes.
You said that when you get these signals that something's wonky, mm-hmm. it's because the brain is under threat.
Correct.
How, in what ways would it be under threat? Is it just daily stress?
Well, that goes into a whole topic of pain science. We often think of pain as a local event. So I hit my knee, I have a knee boo-boo, and maybe that boo-boo is pretty serious. I'm going to go to PT, and they're probably going to give me some local knee joint exercises to help relieve the pain and increase mobility. Pretty normal, right? Mm-hmm. That's the traditional approach. But from a neurocentric brain first approach, I look at it not from local, but global. So now I say, ooh, the knee, it hurts. That is an output from the brain that's sent to that area that's basically causing me to change my behavior. And so in order to fix the knee pain, I'm not just going to do local knee joint exercises or knee stretches. I'm going to do something like what I talked to you earlier, let's say a gaze fixation exercise where Ellen was looking at her thumbnail, and I'm going to improve the signals, improve the neural pathways, whereby the brain is no longer under threat, and when it is no longer under threat, pain is reduced and relieved in that knee.
I'm still very stuck on the raising your arm, looking at your thumbnail. Can you give me another example of a neurocentric drill to do?
Sure. Okay, so what you can do is instead of one thumb, okay, I'm going to ask you to raise both right arm and left arm and then look at your thumbnails, okay? So your thumbs are up, your fingers, the rest of your fingers are curled, okay? And your arms are at shoulder height.
Okay.
And so before you do this, I actually need you to do a baseline exercise. Remember I said mm-hmm. I test and retest. So another thing you can do is do a range of motion. So if you were to stand up, I would stand up, but then I don't think that Mike is going to follow me. If you were to stand up and bring your hands together and kind of point your finger, kind of like a Charlie's Angels pose, okay? Freeze. Okay. And now you're going to stand so that your feet are hip distance apart, your arms are stacked right above your hips, and you're going to inhale for me. You're pointed at center line. And then exhale, just do a slight rotation to the side to comfort, and then take a breath, and then return back to center line. Now inhale again, and then exhale, slowly rotate to comfort. So you're not going to push yourself. You just want to bring yourself to comfort, okay? So I'm seated, and I'm kind of doing the same mm-hmm. thing. Maintaining my arms at shoulder height. Relax. I'm not straining myself as I rotate left and right. So try to take a snapshot of where Ellen's rotation is, how far you were able to go to your left and how far you were able to go to your right. Remember that.
Okay.
So now let's go ahead and do the neuro drill. Let's see if we can increase Ellen's range of motion. Once again, we're going to take those thumbs up, and right and left is pointing up, thumbs and arm at shoulder height. Now I'm going to slowly spread those thumbs a little bit beyond shoulder distance. And now I'm going to stare at one of my thumbnail. And from that, I'm going to jump my eye from left to right, thumbnails. Only staring at your thumbnails. Do that with me for 8, 7, keep breathing, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And then relax, okay? So let's reassess. So back into that Charlie's Angels pose where you have your hands together. You've got that finger pointed forward like a gun. And now you're going to inhale again. And then exhale. See if your rotation has increased to the left. And then come back to center line. Range of motion has definitely increased. Inhale here. Exhale. Slowly rotate to the other side. Okay? And you're just going to do that a few times. And again, you are going to see before your eyes if your brain liked it or not. 9 times out of 10, like I said, your range of motion will increase. And this is not just about range of motion. This is evidence for me to see if your brain function has upregulated or not. Obviously, we're doing this in a studio environment. I'm not seeing you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the client is doing. So when I see them face to face, whether virtual or in person, I have I'm watching, like I said, I have a developed eye to see what I'm looking for. And there, while the exercise is easy, there's many ways for it to go wrong. And this is why, if, for example, some of your listeners have done this and said, gee whiz, nothing changed, maybe your brain didn't like it, or more than likely, I'm going to take a guess, more than likely the controlled environment wasn't purely controlled.
That's Jan McGrath talking to SDPB's Ellen Kester. McGrath is a neurocentric trainer at Pilates Whole Body in Rapid City.